Alrighty, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 34 this morning. If you're just joining us today, we've been working our way through this wonderful book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and I don't know about you, but God has challenged me in many areas. God has taught me a lot of things, and I hope and pray that this book has been a blessing to you as it has been a blessing to me. Before we get into our scripture this morning, there's something that I want us to do. I want to preface just the message this morning that we're getting ready to go through, these verses that we're getting ready to work our way through. I want to be really honest with you about these words. These words that we're getting ready to look at are weighty words. They're heavy words. They're challenging words. As I have been studying this passage of Scripture this past week, God's really challenged my heart. He's really spoken to my heart. And what I want us to do before we get into this message this morning is I just want us to have a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask that you would even pray a specific prayer. And that you would even pray something like this: God, search my heart. God, open up my heart. God, look inside of my heart. So this is what I want us to do right now. Before we get into just these words, I just want us, just by faith, this might be something that might be a little bit uncomfortable to you, but I'm going to ask that you would do something by faith. It's not going to be weird, not going to be too weird maybe, but I'm going to ask that by faith, that wherever you're sitting this morning, that you would just take your hand and that you would just open it up. You don't have to take it and put it up in the air. You don't have to take it and do anything weird, but just open up your hand and let that be a representation, hopefully and prayerfully, of your heart this morning. And this is what I'm going to ask us to do this morning. With our hands open, let's just close our eyes for a moment. And just pray a prayer like this to God. God, would you search my heart? I'm open to you. So would you speak to me today? God, we come before your throne and we say thank you for your word that is there to lead us, that is there to guide us, that is there to teach us, that is there to reveal to us salvation, that is there to challenge our hearts. So God, we just come before you this morning with our hands open, representing our hearts, Lord, that hopefully and prayerfully are open to you today. And God, we ask and pray that you would search throughout this room. And Lord, that you would search my heart. And Lord, that you would search every heart in this place today. Knowing that these words that we're getting ready to look at are weighty words, are heavy words, are challenging words. So God, help us as a people today, myself included, the messenger. Help us as a people, God, to hear your truth. God, I ask and pray that as I speak these words today, Lord, that you really would hide me behind you, Jesus, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would hide me behind your words, and that the truth of this message today would be proclaimed. And God, may we hear it as you tell us to do so in your scriptures that we're getting ready to read. God, thank you for every person that's here, every heart, every mother. God, we just commit this time of teaching to you. We love you, God. We love you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So growing up, I was a little bit high strung. Just a little bit. And my mom and my dad would often take me to my grandparents' house to stay the night. Apparently, they needed some rest or something. And they would drop me off for like, you know, 3 or 4 months at a time just so they could get some rest. And my grandma, she was a great grandma, still is a great grandma. And of course, I was very high strung. And in order for my grandma to get me to calm down, to get me to rest, she would say, "Caleb, I want to tell you a story." And I use that tactic all the time, my boys. "Come here, let me tell you a story." And my sons are just captured by a story. And I would lay on her floor with some of my cousins on pallets for what would seem like hours upon end. And she would tell me stories of her childhood, stories of her growing up. And I was just mesmerized by her stories. And eventually I would fall asleep with my grandma telling me stories. And she was just a master storyteller. And she still is to this day, a phenomenal storyteller. You see, there's something about a story that just grabs our attention if we're willing to listen to the story, if we are willing to hear the story. You see, Jesus would often speak in parables to communicate a theological truth. And it has been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And what we're going to do today is look at a parable. And this leads us to our very first point. You can write this down. Jesus taught the crowds in parables. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea and on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables." The word parable literally translates a placing of one thing beside another thing. So Jesus would take a theological truth and he would place it beside a story, and the result was a parable. A few things that we need to understand about parables. Number one is this: parables always have one main point that they are communicating. And the one main point a parable communicates is always about the gospel, the kingdom of God, salvation. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Your next blank, write this down. A parable was used to instruct and encourage those who were listening to him and to judge those who were not listening to him. It was used to instruct those who were listening and to judge those who were not listening. Now, we're going to look at this parable this morning, okay? But what I want us to do right now is I want us to skip down and look at verses 10 through 12, okay, and answer this question. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Look at verse 10. It says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God.'" So what does it mean to be given the secret to the kingdom of God? The disciples, that is who he was speaking to, were going to receive revelation or truth previously disclosed from ages past. Things like the salvation of both Jews and Gentiles through the blood of Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of Christ, the rapture of the church. These were the mysteries. Another way to think about it is like this: truth revealed in the New Testament. And when you and I listen, whenever we believe and accept the gospel message by the power of the Spirit, we are given access to understand these same mysteries as well. Then look at this next part. He says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables." Those who are outside. What's Jesus talking about? What does this mean? You see, an outsider is a non-believer. One who rejects the things of God. One who rejects the word of God. And when one rejects salvation and the lordship of Jesus Christ, they will not be given access to the Spirit of God to reveal to them the mysteries of God. It's a very simple concept. When your heart is open to God, by the Spirit of God, you can understand the Word of God. Does that make sense? When your heart is open to God, by the Spirit of God, you can understand the Word of God. But if your heart is closed off to God, you cannot understand the Word of God. And then Jesus goes on to quote a prophecy that Isaiah made some 700 years earlier. Verse 12, I'll back up and read a little bit of verse 11. He says, "But for those outside, everything is in parables." Verse 12, "So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And on the surface, when reading Mark's gospel account, it would seem like Jesus is speaking to them in parables so that they will not understand. But listen, this is not the case. Jesus is simply confirming what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years earlier. Those on the outside do not perceive or understand because their hearts are hard. And we can get a better understanding of this if we look at the parallel passage from Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 13 is talking about the exact same thing, but Matthew goes a little bit more into depth. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, the exact same teaching, the exact same parable, but Matthew gives us a little bit more information. Matthew 13, 13 says this, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull." This is why. This is why they are hearing but not understanding. This is why they are seeing but not perceiving who Jesus is. "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." So all of what I've said boils down to this. Whether a person understands the secrets of the kingdom of God or they are an outsider, a non-believer, one who rejects the things of God, has everything to do with the condition of a person's heart. Do you see that? It has everything to do with the condition of a person's heart. H.A. Ironside writes, "He would teach in parables without explaining their meaning to those who were content to remain in ignorance in order that they might go on in their self-chosen path of blindness and indifference to spiritual truth. If they had no desire for instruction, they were to be left in ignorance. This was the righteous judgment of God on those who refused to turn to him and so find forgiveness of sins." So this morning, you will either be instructed and encouraged, or prayerfully, you will be convicted about the condition of your heart. Write this down. Jesus encouraged the crowds to truly listen to the word of God and to consider the condition of their heart. Back up and look at verse 2 again, verses 2 through 9. "And he was teaching them in many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen.'" In the Greek language, this word "listen" is what we call an imperative. It's a command. It means that those who are listening better pay attention. Of course, those that Jesus was speaking to, but to also us as well. I don't know what your translation says. Maybe yours says, pay attention, or it says, focus. Mine says, listen. And if I was you, I would circle that. I would underline that in your Bible. It's an imperative. Jesus is saying, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. So we as a church would be wise to listen to what Jesus is getting ready to say. Listen, he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it's very apparent, it's very obvious that Jesus is saying to them, he's saying to us as well, listen to what I am saying. And Jesus shares a parable with them. And you might be saying this morning, what does this parable mean? What's he saying? And then Jesus gives a commentary of the parable that he just told in verses 2-9. And he goes on to talk about the fact that he is identifying four types of hearts. Jesus identifies four types of hearts mentioned in this parable. And the very first heart is this, and you can write this down. He identifies a hard heart. This parable is talking about hearts. Skip down now and look at verses 13-15. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. The sower, the one that is spreading the seed, is Jesus announcing the word of God. It can even be God's servant proclaiming and announcing the word of God, kind of like what I'm doing here this morning. Then he says, these are the ones along the path. What is the path? The path is referring to a hard surface or a hard heart. If a person's heart is hard, the word of God will never be able to penetrate their soul because Satan will take the word of God from them every time they hear it because their heart is hard. What does it mean to have a hard heart? Well, here it was a rejection of the word of God. It was a rejection of what Jesus was saying. It was a rejection of the teaching of Jesus. It was a rejection of the only way to salvation. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees. We've talked about them in many messages leading up to this one. The scribes and the Pharisees were these people who were over-religious. And Jesus was even speaking to them. Did you know that you can be religious and have a heart that is hard? Did you know that you can be in church every time the doors are open and have a heart that is hard? You see, the Pharisees and the scribes were religious, and yet their hearts were hard. So he identifies a hard heart. Next, he identifies a shallow heart. Look at verses 16 and 17. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. A shallow heart could be referred to as an emotional hearer. A shallow heart has no root in the things of God. Sure, they receive the things of God gladly, but the first sign of temptation, the first sign of trouble, and they're out. I see this all the time being a pastor. A person gets excited about the things of God, and the first sign of temptation, they're nowhere to be seen. The first trial or struggle they go through, they turn their backs on God. The first time someone disappoints them, they leave the church. They have no root because their hearts are not rooted in the Word of God, and rather they respond to God based on how they feel in the moment rather than responding to God out of a deep-rooted commitment to Him. So how do we combat a shallow heart? First and foremost, you must believe and receive every part of the gospel. As Jesus said at the beginning of Mark, He says, repent. It means to turn our backs on sin. Then He says, believe in the gospel. Those are the words of Jesus. So the first thing that we do to combat a hard heart and a shallow heart is to repent of our sin. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. To place our faith in Christ. That's the first step. And then we must have roots that go deep. Deep. How do you have roots that are deep? They go deep in the Word of God. A deep-rooted commitment to God. Not a deep-rooted commitment to man. Guess what? Man's going to fail, right? Not a deep-rooted commitment even to the church. As a people, we're going to fail at times. It's a deep-rooted commitment to God and His purposes and His plans and His ways. So He mentions a hard heart, a shallow heart. Then He mentions also a crowded heart. Look at verses 18 through 19. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And I see these two hearts what it seems like the most. A crowded heart. A shallow heart. And to be honest with you, there are really two hearts that are hard to pastor. A crowded heart. And Jesus says that there are three areas that crowd a heart. He mentions them here. He says the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. And these can crowd the heart and choke the word of God right out of us. The first one He mentions, let's look at that one. The cares of this world. Now please, let me preface this, understand this, the cares of this world. These aren't always bad things. Rather, they are things that don't often matter. I got to wash the car. I've got to take the dog to the vet. I've got to get the kids to practice. I've got to get to this social event. And if we don't watch it, good things can choke the word of God and what truly matters right out of us. He says the cares of the world. Then He says the deceitfulness of riches. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that riches are bad. He doesn't say that riches can choke the word of God out of us. He says the deceitfulness of riches will. It's the chasing after that next big payday, more money, the next big promotion, that next big car, the next big house, the next big toy. And riches can deceive us into thinking that life is all about money. They can deceive us into thinking that they will bring us satisfaction, and when in reality, riches cannot bring us satisfaction. And the pursuit of more will choke the word of God right out of us. And then I love this next part. Jesus covers everything else. He covers everything else. He says, and the desire for other things. Basically, the desire for everything else. Basically, He's saying, you chasing after anything else in this life other than God and His ultimate plan will choke the word of God right out of you. A crowded heart focused on anything and everything apart from God is a heart that will miss out on the simple joy that Christ alone can offer. So he mentions a hard heart, a shallow heart, a crowded heart. Then he mentions a humble heart. Look at verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the heart that receives the word of God and is absolutely obedient to it. This is the heart that is open to God, not hard-hearted, not shallow in their belief, not choked out by the cares of the world, but absolutely humble and open before him, willing and ready to receive what he says and to walk in absolute obedience with him. Next, look at the blessing of having a humble heart. And you can write this down. The humble heart who listens and receives bears fruit and receives more. Remember what I said, a parable is used to encourage and instruct. This is the encouraging part. The humble heart who listens and receives bears fruit and receives more. Look at verse 20 again. The humble heart are the ones who hear the word and accept it. You'll bear fruit, he says, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This should encourage us today that we get to bear fruit for God that matters, that lasts. Skip down and look at verses 23 through 25. He says again, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. This is the encouragement. Pay attention. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. That's the blessing of having a heart that is humble, a heart that is open to God. Verse 25, he says, for to the one who has, more will be given. That's the encouragement for us, for the believer, for the one whose heart is open, for the one who is listening. You want to bear fruit that lasts for God? You want to understand more? You want to receive more? He's saying, receive my word. Listen to my word. Walk in absolute obedience to the word. Proverbs 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. So that's the encouragement if you're listening. Remember, a parable is also used to convict, to judge. This is the conviction. Notice what the hard, the shallow, or the crowded heart receives. Nothing. That's the conviction. That's the judgment. These aren't my words. This is the word of God. Look at verse 25, the next part. From the one who has, the one who's listening, the one who's receiving, more will be given. And from the one who has not, meaning you're rejecting it, your heart's hard, it's crowded, it's shallow, it's not rooted in the things of God, the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So if you're listening to this parable and receiving its instruction, hopefully and prayerfully, you're encouraged by what you hear. But if you're not listening, if your heart's hard, if it's shallow, if it's crowded by the cares of this world, you'll be judged by it. Next, Jesus encouraged the crowds to listen to the word of God, to receive it with a humble heart. Here's why. You can write this down. Here's why. Because his kingdom will shine. Look at verses 21 and 22. He says, receive my word. Hear what I'm saying. Receive the gospel. Don't have a heart that is hard. Don't have a heart that is shallow, that's not rooted in the things of God. Don't have a heart that is choked out by the cares of this world. Receive my heart because my kingdom will shine. Verse 21, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Most theologians that I read said that Jesus is the lamp being referred to. And Jesus is saying, have a heart that receives me and let my light shine through you. Don't hide me under a basket. He's saying, because my kingdom will shine. Notice what he says. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. The gospel is going to shine, whether you receive it or not. He's saying, my kingdom will shine. Will you let me shine in your heart? Are you a part of it? He encouraged the crowds to listen to the word of God, to receive it with a humble heart, because his kingdom will grow. His kingdom will grow. Look at verses 26 through 29. Again, just a reminder, if you're receiving this today, this should excite you. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come. What this is saying is that God will grow his kingdom. God's kingdom will grow when the gospel seeds that are scattered fall upon hearts that are humble and open to him. He's going to grow his kingdom, what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. You see, God will grow his kingdom. And this passage says that one day there's going to be a great harvest. And we're either in or we're out. You're either listening to what God says, receiving it with humility and an openness before him, or you're not. Because his kingdom is going to grow in humble hearts. And one day there will be a great harvest. Are you a part of this? Are you receiving this? Are you receiving what he's saying? Why should we listen and receive? His kingdom's going to shine. His kingdom is going to grow, and his kingdom will advance beyond our expectation. His kingdom is going to advance beyond our expectation. Again, if you're listening to this, this should encourage all of us, if we're listening. Verse 30, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown to the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger, and all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. You see, God is going to build his kingdom, and it is going to advance beyond our expectation. Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Are you listening to this? That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Are you hearing this? That's what Jesus is urging us to do. Is your heart receiving this and responding in obedience? Listen, God's ways and purposes and his word may not seem like much to you now. It may seem like a little bitty mustard seed, but listen, his kingdom is growing. His kingdom is going to advance. God's going to win. And his kingdom will be something that we can never, ever expect or imagine. Again, if your heart is open to all of this, then this is exciting to you. Look at what his kingdom is going to grow into. Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From every tribe, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." As I said before, these are weighty words that we all as a people must consider this morning. Some application questions there, and I want you to answer these between you and God. Am I truly listening to what the Word of God is saying and responding in absolute obedience to it? Do you answer that question between you and God? What's the condition of my heart? I mean, seriously, this morning, what is the condition of my heart? Is it a hard heart? Is it a shallow heart that puts more trust in the things of the world than a deep-rooted commitment to God? Is it a crowded heart? One that's overflowing with the cares of the world? Again, they're not bad things, but if we don't watch it, the cares of the world can choke the Word of God right out of us. How's your heart, or is it a humble heart? Am I all in with Jesus? That's what Jesus was saying to these people. That's what he's saying to us. Check your heart. Are you in with me? Are you following me? Are you listening to me? Are you following the ways of the world? In closing, I want to read the lyrics of this song by a man named Keith Green. The lyrics, the name of the song is called "Soften Your Heart." Listen to what he says, what he writes. "So many times I've tried to tell you, but I don't think you've been listening. There's nothing I want to try and sell you, because his love is free. You're so proud of saying you're a seeker. But why are you searching in the dark? You won't find a thing until you soften your heart. The message is oh so very simple. You got to be like a child to see. Because Jesus said, 'Let the little children come unto me.' You try to make things so complicated, but you really don't have to be so smart. You don't learn a thing until you soften your heart. Well, if this just this once, I could show you your empty life. I know you would follow him right now. Well, I know it sounds just too good to be true. But if he lives in you, you'll never die. You'll live forever, you'll never die. Take care of forever now. You'll tell everyone to keep on smiling, but your outlook on life is so positive. But deep down inside, you're searching for a reason to live. Like everyone else, you're scared of dying. But the power of death has been blown apart. And you'll live forever if you soften your heart." Would you pray with me? Before we pray, how's your heart this morning? How is the condition of your heart? Is it a hard heart, a shallow heart, a crowded heart? I can't look into your heart for you this morning, but I hope and pray that if you hear this, that you're encouraged by it, that if you have a heart that is open to God, that he has so much more for you. So much more that he wants to do in you. So much that he wants to teach you. So much that he wants to give you. So much more of himself that he wants to download into your heart. So how's your heart this morning? If God's identified to you a heart this morning that's hard or shallow or crowded, here's my encouragement, just as your friend this morning. As someone who's walking beside you, someone who's doing life with you, just lay down your pride. Lay down your pride. Say, God, I'm sorry. I want to have a heart that is open to you. Maybe you're in this room today and you have had a heart that's just against the things of God. Maybe your heart has been calloused and just hard, and you have rejected God. Or maybe your heart has never received salvation from Christ, and you just want to let God in today, and you feel this tugging at your spirit, this tugging on your heart. You can receive his salvation today. You can receive the Spirit of God today. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just call on him right now. Say, God, I open my heart to you. I take my heart that's hard and break it for you. Use it for your glory, God. I open up my heart to you this morning. You can give it to him right now. And hopefully you'll be encouraged by that, that you having a heart that is not hard and open to God, he wants to do so much in you. He wants to do so much with you. He wants you to bear fruit that lasts, fruit for eternal life, fruit for his glory. How's God speaking to you today? God, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the encouragement that we heard today, that if our hearts are open to you, God, that you'll do so much in us, that you'll speak to us, that you'll give us more, that you'll lead us, that you'll guide us if we're open to you. So God, I just ask and pray that you would help us as a people, God, to have hearts that are open to you. God, first and foremost, hearts that are receiving the gospel, that have received the gospel and are responding to the Spirit's call to salvation. But then, Father, hearts that are always open, not hard, not crowded with the things of this world, not shallow, but God, a deep-rooted commitment to you. Because God, knowing, we know full well that you'll never fail us. Help us to be that kind of people today. Hearts that are following and in tune with you, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation that he alone can offer. In your name we pray.